or at least a portion of it. I'm going to assume that most here know the story of Joseph, or at least parts of it. And if there is somebody that does not, let me share just a little bit with you. A young man is born into a family, a large family. There are many brothers that were born before him. And for whatever reason, you know, this baby boy, he impacts his father. Maybe it's age. Maybe it's because, I don't know. I don't know why. Because we consider nature, and we've experienced nature, and so we have our own feelings and how that affects us. But his father had so much favor for him, apparently over the other brothers, or at least this is how they saw it, but it began to manifest itself in gifts. His father went to the trouble of making this coat that none of the other brothers got, and I'm assuming he couldn't just run down to Walmart and pick one up. So somebody had to get skins. I think it was animal skins. And I think they dyed the animal skins. So whether he physically did it or had help with his crew, I don't know. But much trouble was gone to dye skins, to have a coat of many colors and given to his son, his one particular son. And I have brothers. I have sisters. Came from a rather large family. And I don't remember ever. Well, maybe I do. I think one time we thought maybe Marty was favored more than the rest because he sweet-talked Mom. You know, he could be real. And I could not. To me, that wasn't real manly. But we think maybe Marty got a little bit more favor from Mom. And he seemed to kiss up to my dad. And so from our perspective as brothers, you know, we thought Marty was a kiss up. In our early years. Now, I eventually grew up. And I then realized, well, that's just who Marty is. He is politer than I am. He's probably nicer than I am. And so I could see how they would like that. It still did not encourage me to be like him. At least not for the sake of the rest of my family. But so I remember the dynamics there. And I remember me and my younger brother, Ronnie, teasing, ganging up on, I suppose for our benefit, because when there's a large family, you kind of vie for position at times. But anyway, let's get back here to Joseph. He is, you know, I just pictured him and spoke about this the other day, getting up from breakfast, sitting down at the table one morning and saying, hey, I had a dream last night. And so in the sharing of this God-given event, his brothers reacted to it. I don't think it was due because of the fact that it was him sharing a dream. I think it was relative to how his father had treated him in the eyes of the others. They didn't resent Joseph for his dream. They resented the favor that God or that the father was showing him in their personal experience. And so it was kind of a setup. Who set it up? The dream giver. He totally set up from the beginning of his life the dynamic of that family. knowing full well ahead in time, I'm going to accomplish something. I'm going to use this young man. But I am going to first set him in variance against his brothers. And you know the story. His brothers resented him because of his father's treatment of him. And when opportunity came, they took it out on him. These are natural family dynamics. How many here chose the family you were born into? Nobody. How many chose your parents? Nobody. But are you convinced that God chose you? Knew you before you were in your mother's womb? Like he cited about Jeremiah? Had a purpose and a call. Careful, I'm going to use this word now. Predestined in the sense that you responded to the gospel when it was brought to you, that aligned you now with his purpose. You know, it wouldn't have followed that course had you not heard, received, believed, accepted, applied, which now recoursed you, aligning yourself with his purpose for your will, for his will, his purpose for your, you know. There was such a release that came when Joseph said, cause all men to go out. And he revealed himself to his brothers. And they were scared to death. And then he quickly appealed and said, come near me and embrace me. I'm alive. It was not you that sent me thither or sold me thither, but it was God. When he finally came to the place that he realized it wasn't your fault, it wasn't mom and dad's fault, there was a destiny that God had given to me. And this was just how it was supposed to play out. That the events would lead and direct me to getting to the place that my life was perfectly aligned with his will. I still get bothered thinking about my alcoholic stepfather. I can look back at situations and circumstances in my family circle that disturb me, that bother me. But if I'll receive the revelation that Joe got, that God knew all along, he knew these circumstances. You know, salvation was not plan B. It was plan A. And he uses the things, the courses in our life to bring us into a disposition at times that cause us to walk in a way when we align ourselves with him. You know, to some it may feel like it's a little slanted. You know, we were damaged. We were hurt, so we're walking with a strange hip. What a strange thing for an angel, you know, to hit a guy in the leg and give him a limp during a prayer meeting. And for a man to walk out of that prayer meeting differently. I don't know. Was that a reminder? Was that some kind of a reminder? But, you know, we walk through the course of our lives, I'm not going to say not damaged, maybe augmented, maybe adjusted, Do you believe that you are in his will? Are you walking with him? We trust him with the future. Can we trust him with the past? Oh, no, you don't understand. No, I know I don't understand. He understands. Do you know, in a flash of a moment, when I was ministering, I did this scan over the past of my life really quick, right into my childhood. Accepting of the fact, you caused several of these things, but you had a divine purpose. I would encourage you, if you have not yet, if you would listen to the recording from the PAWS meeting that I ministered on. Brother Johnston.
Can we pray together for a moment? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Ataramane alarama sotororo bahatataye. Ilararamane ikitia alarama shatororo bahaye. Some of you are looking back over your lives right now, and the Lord is revealing to you, and he's healing some hurt that you've had over situations, and that healing's coming by the word that you just received. It wasn't others who did this to you, but it was the Lord who was lining things up so that he could put you in the place that you are now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the healing salve of your word. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Now this memory won't bring pain, but it'll bring joy, because I'll know that God's got his hand on my life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Anaya rarabo sotororo bahakaya tia tarabahaye itararaba kitia torobahaye shimaluria pase itararaba satataye. Ilarama satatorobo niararama hatataye. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Atararabasiti atarorom atataye. Ilararabasiti atarorom atataye. You need to receive this right now. The Holy Ghost is trying so hard to minister to somebody. Ine loro robasiti atatata itaro roma hatatara rama hatataye ilaralamane aro robahaki ataye. He's reassuring you right now that he's in charge of every twist and turn. He's reminding you right now that he's in control of everything. Inororomo sitiata tarabahaye. Itararane ikiatororoba sitiata tarabaha. There isn't anything that's happened that he hasn't been aware of. He didn't somehow turn his back on you or turn his head the other way while something happened, but he's aware. He's concerned. Itararamasa norobo kitiata rabaha. Iti kiti arorobo sheta tarabaha. Ilororobo siti atararabaha taye. Ine arararamane ikiti arorobo shia taye.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Inararamasitiarorobokotorobahaye.
Be sensitive to the Holy Ghost right now. If there's somebody that the Lord has prompted you to go pray for, be obedient to that right now. Is anybody here? Now, I'm not asking this in a, I need you to respond. I'm asking this as I feel prompted by the Holy Ghost to provoke thought and what I feel like the Holy Ghost is doing right now in the room. But if you ever felt like other people had a pretty good plan for your life, that can come in many different forms and fashions. Parents put a ton of pressure on kids. You know, you need to be a football player, son. I was a football player. You need to be a preacher, son, because I was a preacher. And you're going to be this and you're going to be that. And there's an immense amount of pressure, or I'll call it expectation, that men can put upon our lives, and men can even start to shape and mold what they believe they want for us, or what they see for us, or what they would desire for us. Not always checking in with the Lord to say, Lord, what do you want for this young man? What would you like for this young lady? Because you're the one who formed them. You're the one who knew them in their mother's womb. You're the one who gifts. You're the one who calls. I lived through one such instance in my life. I don't believe by any fault of any one person. But you know, sometimes you can grow through these things as adults. Sadly, I've seen adults who are still living under those expectations and still trying to live up to those expectations and constantly feeling like a failure. Well, I've failed dad, or I've failed my mentor, or I've failed this person who has spoken into my life or who believed in me in this certain aspect. I've failed them. I've had multiple conversations with kids who have come to me, kids who've sat in these chairs and said, Mom and Dad are paying for a business degree, but I got to go tell them this afternoon that I'm about to drop out because that's not the will of God for me. Pray for me. You know how hard that is? There's an expectation. You're going to go to school. You're going to get a degree. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But you got to know. And so this pressure is easier when you're younger. And there was expectations. There were men who looked to me and said, this is what we want you to do. This is the direction we see you going. And I was okay with that. I was fine with that direction because in a lot of ways, that direction fed my flesh. And who I wanted to be, or who I perceived I could be in the quote-unquote kingdom of God / men. And so I allowed those expectations to form me and push me into a place. But God cared enough. He was concerned enough about the future. God was concerned enough about today. I'm not just saying today in general. I'm talking about November the 25th, 2018. He was concerned enough about today and the trajectory that what his plan was, not what man's plan was, but what his plan was. That like a carpet bomb, he just demolished the whole situation. He blew the whole thing up. And so much that men looked at me and said, well, man, we're sorry. That wasn't right. That never should have happened to you. And, you know, all the people trying to sympathize with all these things. That's not right. And that men would do that to you. It took a few years down the road for me to realize that it was God who allowed those things to happen, because had I continued down that road, well, I'd still be living for him in some capacity today, but I wouldn't be doing what his plan was. That was men's plan. And it took him ending what was, and again, I was okay with it. But it took him ending that so that his plan and purpose could be fulfilled. He had to get me to find the end of myself, get all that to fall apart, so he could say, okay, are you ready for what I want now, what my plan is for your life? And then that was a wild ride. No idea, had no clue going into that what that meant. All of these things are, they're at the forefront of my mind as of late. The things, the scriptures that I had set aside today to talk about, the things I felt like the Lord was wanting to minister about today from the book of Philippians chapter 3. Just a couple of quick verses here, starting in verse 3, Philippians 3 and 3, and I'm in the KJV. He said, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." Say no confidence. No confidence means no confidence. That's strong language. No confidence. Well, I'm confident in this, and I'm very confident in that, and I'm confident, and I'm no confidence. Zero. Paul said in the flesh. Go on to verse 4, please. "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more." You can go to verse 5. "Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, is touching the law, Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Paul's talking about a spiritual pedigree that he built up, that he worked on for all these years, the things that he learned and was educated in and taught himself in and became good at. He said, I suffered a loss of all those things. All of those things had to be washed out of me. I mean, this is similar to somebody having gone to school for, let's just say, 9 years to become a doctor, and then all of a sudden just saying, you know what, I'm going to forget about every single moment I spent in school and in clinicals and in residency and all that. I'm just going to throw every book away, and I'm just going to start over, and I'm going to go be an engineer. This is the extremity that Paul was living in. He said, I suffered a loss, all of it. I spent my whole life building up to this place, and I was the best of the best in everything. I had so much confidence in my flesh and everything that I had learned and been taught. All this was here. At some point he realized, if I'm going to be who God wants me to be, I'm gonna have to suffer the loss of all of this other stuff, all the years that have been pumped into me, things that have been taught to me that I took as gospel. I'm gonna have to hit the proverbial flush button and watch it all go, so that I can win Christ, so that I can gain Christ. You've heard me say this before, and I've said it multiple times, and you're probably going to hear it a lot over the next little while, because I said at the beginning, this is at the forefront of my mind, and I cannot get rid of this. And I intend, as much as the Holy Ghost prompts me, to communicate about it. But we go through a lot of routines around here. It's routine. We have a pretty routine schedule when it comes to church gatherings, services, meetings, whatever you want to call this. We meet on Sundays at 11. We meet on Wednesday nights at 7. We come in. They're pretty routine meetings. We kind of know what to expect. And the difficulty with routine is that it somehow lends itself to just commonality, and anything you do routinely, you get really good at. On sports teams, they don't have practice 3 nights a week during the season and do a fall and spring camp because you're a bad athlete. They do that because if you can run that play and run that drill over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, then it'll become second nature to you. And so in a game time experience, when you line up and the ball is snapped, or you're in the batter's box and that ball is flying at you at 95 miles an hour, you don't stop and think about what is it I'm supposed to do. You've done it so many times that it's the muscle memory is just do it. People ask me all the time, how do you hit a golf ball? I don't know. I've swung that golf club so many times that I just line up and swing it. It doesn't always go. Just routine. I don't know what I do. I just line up and I just know what it is because I've swung it so many times. It's just habit. Probably bad habit. But it just happens. And we, in the same sense, we come in here and you know, when you're my age, been raised in this thing, I've been doing this a long time. And you can get really good at it. In fact, we can get really good at having church. And you can put all the recipes together like a cook in the kitchen, shaking a little salt, shake a little this, little of this song, little of these words, little of these lines. And next thing you know, you got a recipe for a good church service. Here's the analogy the Lord prompted to me this morning as I was getting ready. Most of us in the room, I don't know if we have any guests here today. Most of us, a couple guests, most of you have driven here enough that you don't need any assistance on how to get here, right? Jerry, you've lived in Washington for about a year now, right? About 1 year? You know at least two ways to get to the church from your house, right? So you didn't need Google Maps this morning. No, you left. Now, Google Maps was still available to you, but you left her shut off today. Why? Because you've driven here enough that you don't need her assistance to get here. We treat the Spirit of God the same way. It's like our Google Maps. Oh, well, we know what we're doing here, Lord. We got you right here if we need you. All we got to do is call on you. We can dial you up if we get in a pickle. But we know. We come here all the time. We're in this routine all the time. It's easy for us. And we fail to allow the Lord to lead us. And when we're not allowing Him to lead us, when we're not 100% relying upon Him, then we've stepped back into a place of relying upon our flesh. And that line of following the leading of the Holy Ghost and allowing Him to be in control of every single one of our meetings. I'm not saying that we're there all the way. I know we try hard. You realize we're all part of this together, right? I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to the whole. We try our best to allow the Lord to lead us. But sometimes in the doing of our best to allowing the Lord to lead us, we're asking Him to lead us within our structure. This is the start time. This is the Well, we don't have an end time. This is the start time. Here's the building. Here's the people. Here's the vessels. This isn't something that's so far out there and unattainable that we're talking about. Wouldn't it be? No, this is something that we can live in. This is something together that we can walk in. This is something that the Holy Ghost desires us to live in every aspect of our lives. He desires this dimension in us. I want this dimension in my life. I want it in every single thing that we do. But sometimes it's not the easiest thing to do. We all have expectations of each other. And sometimes on a Wednesday night or a Sunday, if somebody came in and took the mic and said, you know what, we're just going to wait on the Lord for the next 30 minutes. Well, what about a song? Oh, we might sing in a few minutes. Maybe we had a release to sing some songs, and after the songs were done, somebody took the mic and said, we're going to pray. We're not sure exactly what the next step's going to be in a meeting. That's not something that we're comfortable with because we like a schedule. I need to know what's going to be happening. Let's pray right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. As you look through history in the Word of God from the Old Testament to the present, you recognize that God has throughout time chosen oftentimes to interject himself into situations with his people. But generally that interjection had to do with him trying somehow to get their attention. And his interjection was, go ahead, Philistines, go in and take them captive. Go ahead, go in and take the Ark of the Covenant from them. They've lost sight of what that box is, what it does. The power it possesses. They've lost the respect and the awe of it, so go take it. Go ahead. That was his interjection. He waited. If you go back and you look, he waited patiently, and he would call upon Moses. He would call upon Abraham. Hey, I want to have a conversation with you. And he desired to be a part of their lives at that level, but he was always patient. He always waited and allowed men to do what they wanted to do if they so chose to. The Old Testament uses terms like they went a-whoring after other gods. If that's what you want to do, I'll be right here. I'm God. I haven't changed. I still desire to play a role. I still desire to lead you. I want to be a part of what you're doing. But I'll stay right here. And I'll wait for you to turn to me. So when we talk about these kinds of things, you know, well, can't the Lord just come in and interject and intercept? Well, of course he can. He's God. But he gives us our own free will, and he allows us to do a lot of times what we want to do. We've been talking a lot on Wednesday nights about this veil of our flesh, this barrier that is our flesh. This is the thing that Paul's writing about here in Philippians 3. The this barrier between walking in the Spirit and operating in His flesh. And somehow by the grace of God, through the process of time, we as the body of Christ have got to come to that place that Paul came to where he says, we have no confidence in the flesh. I'm not telling you it's an easy place to get to. I can admit to you today, it's a day-to-day process. You may not believe this. We all come in here with expectations, including myself. We put those expectations on other people. And the pressure that mounts for the expectations on an individual. Let's pray again. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, when we agree to wait together, when we agree together that we're not going to move forward in this meeting until there's a release to move forward. You see, there may be in a room this size, in a moment like that, there may be a half dozen or more people who are uncomfortable. They've reached the barrier of their flesh. And they're like, they bump up against that, like up against a wall. Boom, okay, I'm done. I'm done waiting. What's next? And they'll bump up against that. And so they stop, they check out, and then they start, you know, all right, praise God. Hawks are playing in 45 minutes. Praise God. I got dinner plans. Hallelujah. Let's wrap this up. And you may not even realize what that interjects into a room. Well, what's wrong with that? We're busy. That's that barrier that I bump up against, that barrier of my flesh that determines how far I go. And when I begin to put that into the room, not vocally, I don't stand up and say, can somebody end this? Nobody does that, right? Hey, can we move on? We've been praying for 15 minutes here. We've been praying for 30. Can we move on? I mean, really, I've ran out of everything I know to pray about. I don't know that we fully understand what that brings into an atmosphere, what kind of atmosphere that creates. And in that moment, what we're asking for, we're asking the person in charge, hey, can you just get back in the flesh for a minute? Can you just step back into the flesh and then tell us something good? And you know, we've been praying a long time. I feel good. Can you get back in the flesh for a minute and let's end this? Oh, I know that's not what we mean. That's not what we intend. But that's what Paul talked about throughout the epistles with this. Back, you start in the Spirit, but then you've gravitated back to the flesh, and there's this back and forth across that line. I'm okay with being spiritual as long as it fits within my time schedule. I'm okay with being spiritual as long as it's comfortable. But it's not necessarily comfortable right now, and I don't have time today, to wait. I begin to wonder the last few days, what have we missed out on as the body of Christ? Because we were unwilling to wait. It's easier to be in a spiritual position and slip back into the realm of the flesh and say, you know, everybody's really tired. It's a holiday weekend. People spent a lot of time with family. They stayed up really late. They ate lots of food. They're still in turkey comas. Let's just cut this short. It's easy to slip into that place. It's easy to come in with that expectation. Hey, it's a holiday service. There's going to be a short, there'll be a smaller crowd today. You know, it'll be more of a relaxed setting. So easy to slip into that. And all we're doing is flipping the switch and just shutting off the spiritual side and saying, thank you, Lord, we got this today. It's okay. Oh, we're going to pray. But we're going to trust a little bit more in the flesh today than we usually do. Just forgive us. Thank you, Jesus. Instead of Paul saying, I have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence. I can't do this. Oh, I know we say that. Lord, we can't do this on our own, but we try. Let's stand together. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Why don't you lift up your voice right now and begin to talk to the Lord. Itare aroromo kiatararabahataye alalabahaye. Itororoma kiti alalamane aroromo kotorobahaye. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Itarorobo kiti anare alalamane irorobo siti ataye. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Atoromo kiti arabahataye. Ilararamane itororobo kiataye. Ine ilororobori atararabahakataye alalabahaye. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Atororoma kiti atararabahataye. Ilororomo siti atararabahakataye. Inororobo kiti alalamahane alalabahashatorobahaye. In the name of Jesus. Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hatororobo kiti atararabahataye. Itororobo kiti atararabahataye alalabahaye. I know we've spent some time in prayer. But I want to give an opportunity before we leave today to talk to the Lord. If you have lived under, if you identify with living under expectation, the expectations of men, things they've put on you, things maybe you felt on your life from other people, and you felt torn in the past of, well, I feel like the Lord's leading me this way, but there's all these expectations to do this. I wonder if you could find a place to release that to the Lord right now and ask Him to give you the confidence and the grace to follow His leading for your life, whatever that looks like, whether that's in ministry, whether that's in occupation, whether that's in your residence, whatever it is. I mean, expectations come in all shapes and sizes and in all kinds of different things, even in the rearing of your children and their education and all those things, all these expectations that pile up. Can you find a place today to release all that to the Lord? Release it to Him, whatever you've lived under. Whatever you've allowed, expectation you've allowed to attach itself to you that's become a weight. Release it to Him right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We cast all of these things upon you, Father. Let us walk in liberty today, Father. Let us walk in freedom, led by your Spirit, in your direction, Father. What you desire for my life, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You know, when you look at Joseph's life, if you were to ask his father obviously saw something in him. He recognized something in him that caused him to believe that there was a path. And he began to create some sort of path for his son. He tried. There were a lot of expectations on what the VeggieTales would call little Joe. Got kids in the house. I listen to that video all the time. Little Joe. All kinds of expectations on him from dad. Make this coat because you're a special kid. There's something God, you know, God's going to do something. I got a plan, but I don't think he saw a famine, second command, all the grain that would sustain their family through that. His ways are higher than mine. His ways are greater than mine. His thoughts are above mine. I want his. In Jesus' name, we yield ourselves to your plan today, Father. Your path, the things that you have chosen for me. I yield myself to those things today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I speak it over my children, Father. I speak it over my household. I speak it over every person in this congregation today. In the name of Jesus, set us free, Father, the expectations of men today. And let us follow freely after the leading of your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, what are you asking of me, Father? What is the path that you have prepared for me? In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Atararobo kotororobashiti atarabahaye. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Atararobo siti atarabaye. Hitararobo kotoria rarabaha siti ataye. Hilararama siti atararobo kotorobaye. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. Thank you for being here today.